guys, welcome back to Navigate Devotional. Here at Navigate, our hope and prayer is to help you engage with the Bible. It's through the Bible that God speaks, and today, as we have a conversation over this passage, we hope you're able to be refreshed, challenged, and comforted by what God says.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Navigate. We're continuing in our journey in Romans, and today we're looking at Romans 11, verse 33 to 36. This is what God's word says. Verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." So I'm joined with Ryan again today to have a chat through this passage. And Ryan, this is kind of the end of a big section in Romans. The whole of, you could split Romans up into two sections, really. Well, maybe more than that if you wanted to. But Romans 1 to 11 and then 12 to the end. Mm. And this is like a summary in some ways of what we've seen. Well, maybe summary is not the best word, but it's kind of like, hey, here's some thoughts to wrap up all the stuff that we've thought about. So it's really good to kind of finish with this because it's such a beautiful picture of who God is and where we find ourselves. So let's have a chat with that.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. It's kind of where Paul kind of comes to this thought at the end of everything he's been considering. And like you said, in terms of Romans 1, we kind of began with just God the creator and our position as the creature who turns back on our creator. And yet, and also in Romans 9 and the section we've been looking at just this week, we kind of get a similar ending to where we began with just God's call to, hey, remember your place as the creature, not the creator. And we heard Paul kind of come at us with the question, who has the right as the clay to question the potter?
Yeah.
And so consider your place before God. Yeah. And in a sense, it's this call to two things that we saw, a call to humility because of just the holiness and the mystery of who God is. Mm.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love that picture. You know, I'm just thrown back to Romans 1, as you said there. You sort of get in the whole, you know, first 11 chapters, you get constantly this reminder that God is God and we're not. And, you know, Romans 1, when you think about, you know, what sin was, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. Mm. They worshipped created things rather than the creator. And in Romans 3, we saw, you know, no one's good. Romans, 3 verse 21, I think that we lack the glory of God. There's just this sense over and over again that we're missing something.
Yeah.
And we're missing something about God. But what we've seen in this is over and over again that God is gracious and compassionate and merciful. Mm-hmm. And even in our sin, he's gone to great lengths to redeem us and rescue us and adopt us and bring us into the family. And in the last episode, we were considering the kindness and the sternness of God. Mm. You know, both of those truths, that God is super loving and also a God not to be messed with.
Yeah.
But here, it's just these few verses to go, hey, let's just remember that God is really big and he's really powerful. And as you said, we're creatures, he's the creator.
Yeah.
And some of those lines there is just so good. You know, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. Mm. How unsearchable his judgments, his path beyond tracing out, who has known the mind of the Lord, who has been his counselor. And, you know, all of these, like, you're almost, when he's asking these rhetorical questions, it's just like, man, no one knows the mind of the Lord. You know, no one has been God's counselor. Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? No one. Mm. For from him and through him and to him are all things. And there's just this sense of, like, man, God's really big.
Yeah.
And as we're finishing this sort of section, 1 to 11, let's just hold on to this truth that God's really big.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it's this new truth that we're going to have to rediscover in our hearts, our place with God, and then this new relationship that we're working out now as God is our Father, we're his kids, and kind of, in a sense, reminds me of me and Hosea, excuse me, working out how we do relationship together. And
yeah.
And in many ways, like, there's just stuff I'm trying to get him to understand that is just like a mystery to him. Like, man, why are you telling me to do this? And now you're telling me to do that.
Yes.
And I just kind of think, how much more with God? Like, yes, he reveals so much to me. And, you know, I reveal to Hosea, I love you. My son, I love you. This is why we do things this way and not that way. And he's not quite two yet. So that's kind of where we're at. But yeah, so there is this, as I reflect on, yeah, this passage and with me and God, there is just this realization as we consider and as Paul considers everything that God's done, this is where he ends up. It's like, man, like the God who I call Father is just beyond my comprehension.
Yeah.
The depth of his love, the depth of who he is, it's just, it's unsearchable. It's like you can't find the depths of that. How amazing is it? You can't trace it out. You can't go, oh, where's the map? And, oh, yeah, I see where he's going with this. It's just, no, it's just one of those beautiful mysteries about relationship, particularly a relationship with a holy and loving God.
Man, I love that. It's so helpful. Again, you know, we don't want to detach doctrine from the relationship and just reminding it, you know, this truth about God is doctrine, the knowledge of God. And God is unsearchable. And that is a doctrine in of itself, that God's just bigger than us. And we can try and understand everything that we want about God, but there's always going to be this sense that we don't know everything.
Yeah.
But I love that picture that you give us there of you and Hosea and, you know, just thinking like Hosea, you know, you kind of go, Hosea, do this. It's like, why? I'm the dad. You know, yeah, that's why. Right. And Hosea doesn't understand how that works or, you know, what that means. But there's a sense that he's just got to rest in knowing you're the dad.
And it kind of raises this other interesting dynamic about our relationship with God. And, you know, it's again like using Hosea, like he's starting to ask questions in his way.
Yeah. As
not quite 2-year-old does, but and it's not because he wants to know the information or know everything. It's because he wants to really know how can we do life together well. And so I'm just not sure sometimes that's where we're coming at when we have issues with God and particularly his sovereignty and knowing everything and his loving control over things. Because I think we're so used to having every piece of information at our fingertips.
It's
like, and this is where I think the doctrine and the relationship thing gets distorted when it turns into this knowing it all endeavor. And it's just not how relationships work. And it's also, unhealthy when we try and actually detach those two things. And so for us, we live in a world where we have information at our fingertips all the time. We can, in a sense, know a lot of things, almost everything about something.
Yeah, you want to you got a question about anything, you know, just Google it, you'll find it out.
And when we come to God in relationship with him, even when we come to his word, the Bible, that's just not how it works. And if we come at it looking for this transaction of relationship, thinking that we're just going to get it by a couple of seconds, 60 seconds of punching in an answer, we're going to come up extremely frustrated.
Yeah, you know, that's so helpful. And I, like some things, thoughts that run through my mind is, you know, there is a reality that that's the age we find ourselves in. This came out of the Age of Enlightenment, you know, which happened a few hundred years ago, I believe, about the idea that, you know, you can actually know stuff and what, you know, you can find your value and identity there. And from that flowed what you're saying, where we find ourselves now, like this idea that, yeah, we can know whatever we need to know. And, you know, you add in the internet, the Google, where you can search whatever you want and find out whatever information you want. But I'm just struck by, as you're saying, when you come to the Bible, there is stuff about God that we know and stuff that we don't know. But the closeness of our relationship isn't defined by that. You know, we're invited into this relationship through Jesus. So we know we enter in, we come home through Jesus, as we've seen so much. But I'm just struck by, you know, for 1600 years, Christians didn't have the Bible.
Yeah.
Yet now we define our relationship with God as, you know, oh, I've read the Bible, I've, you know, read some books or whatever. And for 1600 years, if they had that, they would have done that as well, because the Bible's so good.
Yeah.
But I think what it shows us at the very least is that there is more to this relationship. And, you know, I'm just struck by how little we pray just in this when we think about this sort of stuff. But prayer, you know, when you pray, instantly you're struck by the fact that God is God and I'm not. Mm. Like, that is what prayer is. It is an act of humility.
Yeah.
Because you're going, hey, God, you're sovereign. Like, instantly I'm asking for help in this moment. And I just think it's one of those things. If we grasp the truth of what Paul's saying here, it's going to impact us where, yes, we're going to keep exploring and searching, but from a position of humility, mm. where we're wanting to know who God is, but also we're going to do more things like prayer and just spending time with God, you know, seeking Him, praying to Him.
That's right. And it's, prayer is a confession of all these things that we see in this passage that we can't trace out, can't reach the bottom of knowing everything that we feel we need to know in the moment.
Yeah.
And it actually just comes back, draws us back to the one thing we do need to know and can know and do know is who God is.
Yeah.
And we'll see that in the next passage as we get to Romans 12. That's what we get into, but it's, I'm going to spoil it for us. But yeah, this is a real, as Paul has wrestled with, like, some serious theology. Like, let's not forget, like, there's some big concepts, big ideas about God, which leads him here to go, man, God is just amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's to kind of cultivate this humility, this kind of privilege in the relationship that we have with God as our Father.
Yeah. One more thing before we wrap up that I want to talk about is what sin does when it comes to this sort of stuff. Because I think sin deceives us. And, you know, well, I don't think that. I know that. Sin deceives us.
Yeah.
And often what sin does is it makes me think I'm God. And it puts me in the position of, you know, that I know everything. It's my wisdom. You know, my judgments that are unsearchable, my paths, you know, no one can trace out, you know, where it's like, I don't need a counselor. I am the counselor. And this is what sin does. And we saw this in Romans 1, you know, exchanging the creator with created things. And sometimes that's even just ourselves. But I think it's so important to see this, that when we grasp this truth about God, God is God and I'm not. There's things about God and there's things about this world that I don't know. And I can rest in that. And I can just trust God in that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to know everything. I mean, sin is so deceptive in that, where it's just like, you know, sometimes we have a restlessness in our heart, you know, where it's like, I need to know everything about everything. Man, that's just like, that's pride and it's sinful.
Yeah.
And when you grasp this truth, it leads us to humility where it goes, no, God knows everything and I don't.
Yeah. And in many ways, like just kind of picking up with what you're saying, it's good that way. Like, it's actually good for us that God is God and we're the creature.
As we wrap up this passage, I think it's just so good to be reminded of who God is and who we are. And more than that, to reflect on these verses again. Who can know the depth of riches of wisdom and the knowledge of God? How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out? Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. There is something good about this, knowing that God is God and that we are not. And so today, wherever we are, let's rest in this truth. God knows today. He's in control of today. He knows everything and we don't. And we can rest in this God who has made everything we need to know about Him known as we look to Jesus. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the one who died and rose again. And so we can know that when we come to this big and awesome and powerful God, that we're safe, that we're loved, that we're secure. And there's some things that are going to happen today that we're not sure about, but that's okay because God's in control. Thanks for listening. We hope that you'll join us again in the next episode. Wherever you are, we hope that you're able to remember today that God is God and in control. See you next time.